You go in there as the enemy to go take over, and that's our plan, to actually go take over. I think they call it the dog pound. I consider myself a dog, so I'm right at home in that place. So I'm excited to get back in there, and I know they're a physical football team, but so are we. Honestly, I love it. You know, I love a challenge. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I love looking something square in the face and saying, bring it on, whatever it is, you know, chin up, chest out. You know, I live by that, sunsets, no regrets. So I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait. You're considered a bad guy because you're going into essentially another man's house, and you're trying to take over, like his wife, kids, everyone there to watch them. So you're going over to beat their tails in front of their wife and kids. So when you think about it from that perspective, like any man's going to, you know, fight to the death in that point. I know if that's me in that case, I know I would. So I think about it from that standpoint, and I'm just going in, you know, just like I prepare for any other game. Play to the whistle. Play physical and hit anything that move.
Zero lies detected right there from Roquan Smith. Kind of got a little flack about some of those comments taken out of context, you know, going into the game. Anybody that listened to the whole thing knew what he was saying. It wasn't no bulletin board material or whatever. And the part that I didn't include in there, he even addressed that. He said, look, if you need something like this, if you need bulletin board material in this league to get you ready to play, you're not in the right line of work, basically.
you're really not. It works if something's stale, if the rivalry is stale, like if it's, you know, you're just going through the motions and, you know, all of a sudden someone pops off, that's fine. But it, like you said, in this league, like, really? And to that point, like, you okay, I said something. What are you gonna do about it?
Well, here's
what are you gonna do about it?
Here's what he did about it. Going into the week, right? Dog pound, it's kind of like this. But then by Sunday, things have changed. Things have changed quite a bit by Sunday, right? They loud, they barking, down to some whimpering at 4 o'clock on Sunday. But yeah, we go through it, man. We'll go through everything like we normally do before we get into it. Just, you know, we like to talk life, the game of life, most important game of them all. How you been?
I've been pretty good, sir. I've been pretty good. You know, finally getting into a routine with the kids.
Yeah, school is back. Yeah, school is in full swing. I guess they're at least a month in now. And, they seem to be settling in okay. I mean, my son, he's a junior in high school, so, you know, there's like old news to him. He's like, I know what I'm doing. Daughter just started middle school, so it's, you know, that's a big adjustment going from elementary to middle. Really, the biggest thing for her has been, like, she's like, there's so many stairs. Like, you got to go upstairs, you got to go back downstairs, you got to go upstairs, you got to go back downstairs. Because in elementary school, you might go from one room to another, you know, maybe, like, twice or three times a day, but not for every class. So it's new to her doing it for every class. So, and she's, you know, in a bigger building, so she's just like, man, you just, it's a lot of stairs. She was like, oh, and they don't give you much time, like, to go from class to class. I said, yeah, but I said, you'll get used to it. I said, it's the beginning, but by now she's like, I kind of got it down now.
Yeah, sending the kindergartner into the fire for the first month and a half. Oh my Lord. Like, that first 2 weeks she came out, and, like, it was just, like, hair was, it, you know, every meme you ever seen, hair whipped, looked like war had taken place in the class, and, you know, it's gotten better, but my daughter is very, very opinionated, and she's gonna say what's on her mind.
Shocker.
And she dropped a nugget on me today. She literally looked at me and said, Daddy, I don't like Miss Johnson. She's mean.
Look, man, kids can see right through it. Kids can see right
through it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, kids can see right through it.
Like, they fair enough. Like, yeah. And, like, she didn't keep harping on it. She just needed to say it out loud. Just
gotta get it on my chest.
Just gotta get it out.
You know what I'm saying? So, gotta get it out of my chin up, chest out.
I get it. Yes, absolutely. and then when people get in your face, just rip their helmet off and tell them to strap up tighter.
Strap it up tighter. Hey, you know what time it is out here. Roe is, I mean, man, he's just on. He's on that old school. He's on that old school ball. He ain't out there to mess around, or we ain't brother in law. We ain't doing none of that. The game, that's different. But what's that whistle blow?
you can feel the vibe of that defense.
Yeah.
Like, the young guys have bought into it. The vets that have come in.
Clowning.
Continue to, yeah. Like, oh my God. Like, oh my God. Like, where have you been all my life? Like, just to have a guy in your huddle who's going to consistently ask the best of you, but not in a negative way.
Yeah.
Like, we are in this same boat, rowing the same way. We all have to be physical. We all have to run into football. We all need to know our assignments. But I'm here just in case. Pick up the pieces and make sure everybody's good.
Yeah. I mean, you heard Clowney say he's the best linebacker he's played with in his career. He said 10 years. This is the best linebacker I've played with. And he's been on a couple different teams. So, you know, he's been around a little bit.
I mean, yeah, Seattle.
I was going to say, was Bobby Wagner there?
Bobby Wagner was there.
Okay.
And the other cat was there too.
KJ Wright.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big statement. That's a big statement. Big statement. You say it was the best that I've been around. But like you said, you can see the vibe. You can see the vibe, and everybody buys into it. And, you know, it's like, it's reminiscent of Ray. It's different. You know, they're different in their styles, but it's reminiscent of Ray. Like you said, it's not a negative thing, right? It's not like getting down on guys, or, you know, I mean, it's just like, look, here's the level. Right, I'm at this level, and you can be at that level too. I know you can be at that level too. I see it in you, and I'm gonna get it up out you. Look no further than the guy that lines up right next to him. I'm gonna get that level out of you.
That is a new dude next to him. New dude, all types of confidence brimming out of that dude.
Yeah,
the belief, the hunger. Just the speed to ball and the physicality. And what I notice on film is how quiet they both are at the snap of the ball. Everyone else is moving. They are staying still, reading their keys, being slow with their feet, but quick with their minds. And it's just gorgeous to watch as a defensive coach. And you can tell not only is Roquan who he is, but the teaching of the coaching, the consistency that he's getting, the belief, the repetition of the basics. Now the basics are easy. The basic play is easy. The good to great play is, you know, got a little difficult to him. Difficulty to them. Those amazing plays come a little bit more now.
Yeah.
Because he's understanding everything else around him. He's playing freer. He can go make plays and be the football player that he can be and what he's growing into. And it's amazing to watch.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest things that we used to talk about all the time. Like, even when we did that little film room with Coach Evans, we was like, look, he's just running all over the place. Like, as soon as the ball is snapped, he's going here, he's going there. Like, if he just slow down. But now, like you said, it's like a different player. I mean, we saw the glimpses. You always saw the flashes, right? He'd make plays and be like, man, see if we could just get that consistently. That's what we expected. And now you're getting it. And, you know, it was on full display. in this game this weekend. Granted, I know people, hey, they're going up against a rookie quarterback making his first start. I get that. I totally
he is in the that. National Football League. Yeah. He was drafted. He's a backup. He won the job out of camp.
Yeah. They traded the other dude because he played better. So, you know.
If you want to wing it around 36 times with a rookie quarterback, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Once the Ravens started building the lead and kind of forcing Cleveland to be one-dimensional like that, you knew what was coming. Like, you could tell what was coming. You're like, this ain't going to be good for DTR back there. It's not going to be good.
I'd be surprised if he was supposed to be the starter this week. I know they got a bye. I don't know if he would answer the bell. He'd been quite sore waking up this morning.
He took some vicious shots.
Hard. Man, he took rib shot in the chest.
Multiple ones.
And he's not used to it. Like, if you watch other quarterbacks, like you watch Josh Allen when he gets hit in the pocket, or even Lamar when he gets hit in the pocket, they kind of step back to absorb a little bit of that hit. They're used to it. So they're you know,
yeah.
All he was stepping in the throws and just taking, wow. You're just like, no, you can't do that.
Man, he took a couple of them in the pocket. That one where he got penalized for throwing the ball forward, Roe and Queen both tagged it, and he went flat. Just went flat. I was like, man, they are lighting this boy up. But he finished the game. Credit to him. He finished the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hey, hopefully he's got a long career ahead of him. Things hopefully will improve. Not too much. You know, we want them to kind of stay where they at. But, you know, I liked him coming out of UCLA. He was a guy I kind of was rooting for. Was bummed that he went to the Browns. But good for him. Number one, getting drafted. And then, you know, he did play well in the preseason. So we'll see what goes on there long term. Obviously, the guy who they're paying all the money to couldn't go. We'll see what happens with him the rest of the way. But I guess we'll just start going through it like we normally do. We'll start up front with the defensive line. And we saw contributions from pretty much everybody. Justin Madubuike, Broderick Washington, Travis Jones, like, right, we saw all the big boys contribute in one way or another up front.
Oh, absolutely. The game plan was I was so happy to hear after the game when Harbaugh said that they didn't change the game plan going in because of the change of quarterback. Because that can be a little bit wonky to a bunch of guys who have been geared up all week doing this. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, we're going to adjust something because we have a new quarterback. No, you keep the same game plan. And up front, the game plan was simple, cause chaos. Mm-hmm. That offensive line will road grade you if you allow it to happen. And they came in and said, no, we're going to move. We're going to be physical. We're going to slant. We're going to be physical to point attack. What is so crazy right now to me is how well the Ravens are able to control the run game with six to maybe a seventh person in the box.
Yeah, they got some light boxes. They play
light right boxes.
Real
light. And teams can't run into it.
Yeah.
Like, they are physically manhandling them. If they come out in 11 personnel, you try to run on the Ravens in 11 personnel, it's just not happening.
Yeah.
And that D-line with Clowney, everyone's saying he needs to get more sacks. Sacks come in bunches. Yeah. It's just how they happen. Some guys are consistent all year. Most guys get them all in, you know, segments of games, like four games here, three games there. They're going to come. The number you need to pay attention to is what he is doing, which is 19 pressures.
Yeah, which is crazy.
It's crazy. It's absurd.
A crazy number.
You don't know how much that helps the secondary understand. If I take away the first read, he's going to disrupt them enough to not be able to get to the second read.
Yeah.
The big boys up front finally got let loose in a sense. Madubuike seems like his legs are starting to get underneath him. Maybe he's got out of his head a little bit with trying to be great on the contract year. He's starting to play well. Brandon Washington's starting to show up now. Big guys always take a little longer to get rolling. So not surprising. Van Noy came in, was solid.
Off the couch.
Solid on the edge. Like you can't ask for a different dude to go out there and do that.
No, because you can see the difference. And it was almost, I was laughing at myself. I'm like, it was like an auto run check whenever Moon or Robinson were in at the end. It's like, hey, we're running that way when either one of those dudes are over there, because they are not going to hold that edge. We going to cave one of those dudes in or knock them off the ball. But you put Van Noy out there, just a wily vet guy who's seen it all.
You ain't moving that.
No. He's going to stay outside. Or he'll do what Clowney does, which, you know, Clowney, he's a gap. He's a gap slasher. This is what he likes to do. He can hold the point if he needs to, but I think we talked about this before. He kind of reminds me of Suggs that way in the run game, where Suggs was like, look, I'm setting the play up for somebody else. I can stay out here and go head to head with this tackle or whatever, but I can also shoot inside this gap and spill everything, because I got Ray and I know he'll clean up anything. Sort of like now when you got Roe and PQ, I can spill anything. Those guys are cleaning up. So,
and you can see the structure of the defense is completely built on spilling everything into the outside. We clog up the middle, kicking on the outside. I will say this about Robinson. He has held up well for being a rookie.
Yeah, I was surprised, honestly, because I don't think they expected him to play this much.
No.
Not really.
And he's come in and been a solid dude. Like, he doesn't get moved a lot.
Yeah,
he's physical to the point of attack. He understands his assignment, and that's what you need from a rookie. He doesn't make mistakes. He's rarely out of his gap.
Yeah,
he may get caved a touch, but he's not getting, you know, power drove out of there like I've seen some other guys get done.
Yeah, that's more Moon. That's much Moon. You know, because he's a little lighter. You can look at Robinson. I don't know what he's weighing right now, but he's a big dude. You see him out there on the field next to other guys, vets, you know, at on the offensive line, and he doesn't, you know, you don't look at that and like, oh my god, he's about to get destroyed. You're like, okay, he can at least hold his own in this fight. So he's been a nice surprise. Like we keep saying, when you start to get guys back, having guys who've gotten this experience early on, it's gonna pay dividends.
You imagine the rotation. Say Bowser comes back healthy, you hope. And he came back last year from his Achilles, and he was pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the knee is, probably a drain issue, probably whatever may be going on. He's going to be back shortly. Now you got to throw him in there. You can go Owe in there. It limits him in the sense of now he's your first and second down guy. Van Noy can be your third guy, third down pass rush type dude, kind of in that Justin Houston idea to kind of keep him fresh, and then come playoffs, he's going to be in that. He's going to basically split the run snaps with Owe in the playoffs, because that's what you're aiming for. So having those four guys, throwing in Robinson as can steal 5 to 10 snaps a game that you might need to steal, that's a pretty good rotation.
Yeah, it was Van Noy, man. It was in McDonald's. He came in with third down ideas. He came in. I've been watching y'all. I got a few ideas for some stuff I think that we can try. And, you know, he didn't necessarily get home every time, even though I think he got a couple pressures in this game. But you could see the pass rush bag that he's got. I mean, he was throwing the moves at their right tackle.
he was out there. It was to him. It was practice.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to throw every move that I got my bag just to get it.
Yeah.
Just moving in the right direction.
He was throwing them all, man. And they even, I've seen them do this before. They did it three or four times in this game, that front where they'll put Matabike at DN. And they had Clowney line up inside of him. Number one, I think you always like that, right? Getting Clowney on a guard or even a center, you know, if he's running a game or something inside. He's just too quick for those guys and too powerful. But I kind of like Matabike sometimes out there at DN. He's got leverage on some of those guys, so he can get under them, and we know he's strong. So I kind of like him out there. I'm not saying make a living doing it.
No.
But I kind of like
him. He's got the – you know who his body type reminds me of? Of Michael Strahan.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
When you line him up out at the end, he's got enough speed to get around the edge. Yeah. You know he's got pass rush moves because dude can straight up go nasty inside when he's in the guard.
Yeah.
But I also think this allows him a fresh perspective because when he's inside, you know Clowney's coming inside and he's going to have to loop.
Yeah.
So you have to give them a different look. And it also allows you to kind of play games with them out there now. You can say, well, I got Justin out here. He may straight rush you. But now, all of a sudden, maybe I stunt Clowney outside and slam that tackle. And all of a sudden, you're freeing up Matabike to do the old Terrell Suggs that we would see at least twice a game, that's step up and under. And
yeah. Yep.
Love that thing.
You get all of that creativity, and plus they're still doing all of the stuff with the backers. You know, they're coming a couple times a game where they're going to pin somebody. One of them's going to pin somebody, and then the other one's going to come. So you know they're gonna have that as part of their rush plan as well. So It's coming together. It's coming together. And despite, you know, the injuries, they've just continued to play well, man. I mean, you gotta give guys credit, guys who've had to kind of step in, young guys, guys new to the team. I know we'll get ready to talk about some of those guys in the secondary, but we'll go to linebacker, of course. Can never overlook Roe and PQ. And, you know, we kind of already talked about a little bit, just a continuation of what they've been doing all season. Got their hands on some more balls, though, in this game in coverage. I mean, Rowe, I think one or two, maybe three. I think PQ got his hand on one.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they were just kind of sitting back there in zone and just DTR staring people down. So it was like a free-for-all on driving on routes.
You know, Roquan, once he watches the tape, he's going to be mad at the first one because he got one hand on it.
Yeah, could have got
it. Can't tell me. You can't tell me you could have got the second one to it. So he'll be mad about that one. But yeah, those two, it's hard. It's hard for teams. It's hard for them to game plan for them now. It's, you can't get to them as cleanly as you can used to because Clowney is diving, so he's automatically taking the tackle out of the down block for Queen. Yeah. So he's free. He's free to the weak side. So he's always going to run free. And those two together, you couldn't have asked. I mean, you got the two out there in San Francisco who are just dogs. Mm-hmm. But, man, these two, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to say anything, I mean, negative about the game. I mean, I saw a play with Queen. They threw it out to the flat. And Queen, pre-Roquan, would have dove at the ankles, and it would have been a 50-50 if he would have made the play.
Yeah.
My man went out there, and that running back tried to give him the shimmy. His feet just stayed in place.
Mm.
He bounced on his toes. He's like, you got to come to me, bro.
Yep.
And I'm quick enough to get to you, whatever direction you want to go. And my heart just was like, oh, he has become a man at linebacker. You can just settle down. And when your mind stops working, at linebacker, in the sense, it frees up everything. You just go play.
Yeah.
You hit a call, and you're like, okay, my body's going to do what I need it to do. Now it's just, can I go be great? Nope. Okay, I'm just going to go here and make the play. I'm just going to go here and make the play. And then all of a sudden, those great plays start coming into your lap.
Yep.
They just show up, and the balls start falling out, and fumbles start getting picked up, and touchdowns start getting scored. They're going to get the turnovers. Those two are going to get theirs.
Oh, yeah. It's coming. I mean, they've started off the early part of the season getting their hands on some balls in coverage. They've both been, you know, getting into the backfield, getting sacks. Turnovers are next.
Turnovers are next. That's so. If you want to pinpoint something, that they're getting interceptions. That's the key. Yeah. But I would like to see more fumbling occurring closer to the line of scrimmage. We're hitting people hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're getting everybody to the football. But I would just like to see the ball on the ground just a little bit more.
Yeah, hey, 10 TFLs and 4 sacks in this game. I mean, 8 quarterback hits. They're definitely getting there and delivering a blow when they get there. Mm-hmm. But that, yeah, I think you're right. I think that's going to come. The tackling has improved so much, not just for Queen, but just the defense as a whole. And in some ways, I almost wonder, like, if that, like, they're doing such a good job tackling. Like, nobody, you know, we've seen it in the past where guys mm-hmm. are getting there and try to tackle the ball and stuff like that, and they're not just getting them down. You're not really seeing that anymore unless it's, you know, a group thing, unless there's at least 2 guys there. If it's one-on-one situations, nobody's just trying to tackle the ball anymore one-on-one. They're just wrapping you up and getting you on the ground.
That has probably been a focus for them.
You can tell. It has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be because it has not been like this.
No, you don't see guys going there and trying to rip the ball out. You see guys bringing guys down. They're like, if we get them on the ground, it's 3rd and 4. Not 1st and 10 after a 25-yard game because we try to make the hero play.
Right.
So you can see that has been ingrained in them all camp. Like, this is how we're tackling. We're not going in stripping footballs. If it happens, it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what you need to get. That's the old adage, is if you keep hitting people, you keep pounding people, eventually people just start coughing up footballs.
Sure.
You don't have to go in there and cause fumbles, because eventually, like you said, the tackling was just woeful the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's been bad. It's been bad because you get so much of that mindset of, you know, we need to get the ball out. We need to get the ball out. And of course, you want to get the ball, but like you said, it's got to be the right situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're the second man there, okay, that's different, right? First guy's got him wrapped up. You got a chance to punch at the ball or rip at the ball. Hey, by all means. But if it's just you and him, you got to get him down. You got to get him down. And you can see, like, they've bought into that. Almost like it had to be proven. Like, hey, if we do this, here's how good we'll be. Don't worry about the fumbling. We'll get the ball. Don't worry about that. That's going to happen. But if we do this, this is how good we can be, right? And all that other stuff will come. Don't worry. That's going to happen. Like you said, the interceptions already happened. That's where I was going to go next with the secondary. Geno Stone gets him another one in this game. Kyle Hamilton gets his first career one. Brandon Stevens gets his first career one and looked like the running back he used to be when he was running back. I was like, oh, he's going to score.
He had a flashback.
Yeah.
He had a flashback.
It looked natural.
It happens to the best of us.
It just looked natural. You know, sometimes you see DBs who ain't used to getting the ball a lot and they look a little like Geno. You're not sure where
Geno's like, I was tired.
But Stevens, man, he's setting up blocks. Like, you knew he was trying
to score. He had a stiff arm ready. Like, he had the ball in the other arm. He was ready. He was
once standing. He got back up, I was like, okay, he's going to score. And he damn near did. But, yeah, I mean, they're getting the ball in the secondary. And that's not even including breakups, you know, where they just knock the ball away. Guys, they had a couple of that. And you just got a rotation of guys, and it just doesn't seem to matter whether it's Darby and Stevens, whether it's Yasin and Stevens, Nickel, they rotated at least three different guys. Like Hamilton was in there, Millett was in there, Seymour came in when Millett got banged up a little bit. What's the name went out early? The other dude who's a Worley, who's playing, you know, opposite safety back there with Stone. And then, you know, Hamilton has to go back. So now they're bringing in different guys at nickel. And it just didn't seem to matter. There's no drop off. There's no drop off.
Everything
I saw same. Millett, I was like, where has this guy been? This guy looks like a baller. Where's he been at?
Because he has a job. He understands his job. There's no questioning. There's no, oh, if this guy goes in orbit motion, then blah, 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 blah. Like, no, this is what I'm doing on this play. This is what I got. That's it. And I think it goes back to what Humphrey and all those guys said the first couple weeks of Mike McDonald being there. It was simple. Yeah. Everything was simple. Everything was simplified. Everything had a base to it. And you understood his mindset and the way he wanted to run the defense and call it. And I don't think people understand how much of a vibe that is on defense. When you're in the middle of a game and you already can anticipate what your coach is going to call before you get back into the huddle because he's informed you of the game plan. You've been with him long enough to understand his call patterns and what happens on first down, second down and short, third and medium, however you're going to call. You know what you're going to probably hear in your headset. Mm-hmm. And the comfortability of that as a player and to look at your guys and they know, okay, we're probably third and four, third and five. He's probably going to come with something a little bit, you know, zone fire. And before the call comes out, your mind's already processing like, oh, yeah, he's probably going to do this. That is so big as a defense and to have that vibe going on and then the guys just are able to play freer and to go say, hey, my job is to stay outside. If I stay outside, I can go be a football player. Okay, go make a play, son.
And it just shows you how you can take that for granted sometimes because it's the highest level, right? It's the NFL. Mm-hmm. And you think that some of this stuff goes without saying until you hear the players talk about it like it's the first time it's happened. They're like,
yeah.
He's explaining the why to us. Here's why I call this in this situation. Yeah. They're like, oh, that's why we're running this right now. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay. Third and four, you're calling this – because the swing routes come. Oh, that's why you want me to take the step outside just to be safe, to make sure I'm got it. Okay,
yeah.
Bet.
Yeah. As opposed to before, he said over the years, the way that this system had grown, like you had different guys come in, right, going back to Rex, but it kind of built upon the same sort of foundation. Each guy came in and put his own little twist, but there was like a foundation. They kept building it. And he's like, every week, just to like tweak one thing, we had to reteach the entire defense because there was so many tags, there was so much verbiage, and it was like this. Nobody can play fast having to learn all of this every week, like relearn it and relearn it and relearn it. And now you can tell just when you watch them, whether it's coverage, whether it's pressure, it's like, look, we got a foundation, and regardless of who it is, when you're in this role, here's what you do.
Yep.
It don't matter if it's 25, if it's 10, it don't matter who the number is out there on the field. If you're in this role, here's what you do.
Here's what you do.
Yeah. And they just go.
So before we go any further in the secondary, I want to give a shout out to someone who I didn't think was going to be an important part of this team at the start of the year. And that's Malik Harrison.
Yeah, Malik. Shout out to Malik.
That they have found a role for him. He has accepted his role as this run-stopping maniac.
Yeah. Yeah.
They put him out there just like, and he's just like, be who you are.
Yeah.
And he's consistent on defense now. His special team work has been outstanding.
Yeah, he's a core dude. He's a core dude there
now. Core dude. And I middle of the year, I can see them throwing an extension at him, a couple year extension. Yeah. Just to free up a little extra cap room, but also keep around a guy who's going to be a core special team guy around here for probably a while. He can step in and play middle linebacker if you really, really need it. Yeah. He can play some outside linebacker, which is probably his better position.
Yeah,
in the sense.
He's a hammer. He is a run game hammer. Like you said.
He is your old school 3-4 Jared Johnson. Ugly human being on the end. I'm here to just do all the dirty work.
And I'm glad you mentioned his name because, you know, they've been showing these clips in the locker room, of course, after they win, where they're giving out game balls, and he's got a game ball. And I was happy to see that, man. I was happy for him because, you know, his journey, it hadn't been smooth the whole time that he's been here. There's been some bumps in the road. And, you know, he came in that year with Queen and was kind of thought to be, okay, this is going to be the pair. Right, these two are going to be the next two at inside linebacker for the Ravens, and it was rough for both of them in different ways. You know, Queen never really lost his spot, but you know it was rough for him. But Malik, you know, it's been bumpy, but like you said, he's carved out a role on this team, an important role, and it's like he knows what his role is. He understands his value and what he brings to the defense and the special teams. Like I said, he's a core dude, probably one of the leaders on special teams, I would think. And they have shown in the past that they do take care of those guys. You know, they do like to keep those guys because they understand this is, it's a glue type of player, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just to the team. Right. And I was happy for him because, you know, obviously he was playing back in his hometown, but just for him to kind of bounce back from some of the stuff that he's been through, and not just like it was all on him. Cause you know, just my personal opinion, I think they was kind of messing him around too early in his career, but I'm glad that he's found a role to settle into.
Absolutely. He's just one of those cats, just like that dude from, was it BYU who they screwed up trying to.
Oh, Kamala Correa. I'll never forget.
Screwed him all up.
Yeah. Cause what do you expect him to do? If you come to him and say, hey, we want you to play some inside backer. He ain't going to say no. He's a young guy, you know, trying to get snaps. Yeah, I mean, he probably in his mind knew, like, nah, that ain't really what I do. But, you know, I'm trying to get on the field. So, you know, he went with it. And look, what was crazy about that, though, was, right, so they did that to him while he was here. And like you said, it kind of screwed him up. He leaves. He goes to the Titans, right, where Dean Pease is the DC for that year. And then he's using him the way he should have been using him all along. So it's like he figured it out. It's like he was like, oh, yeah, I tried this. We did a little experiment in Baltimore. That didn't work out. Now that I got the second chance, I'm just going to let you be an outside backer and just let you do what you do. And it was a rotational thing. He wasn't starting for them. He was, you know, like a sub, you know, rotational outside backer. But that was the role. That was the role where he could kind of be the best version of himself. And it's like it took Pease a while. I think he said that. He talked about it at a press conference with Tennessee. Like he said, hey, I probably put too much on his plate in Baltimore and to his detriment. And he's like, that's on me. But, you know, having a second chance to coach him, I learned or tried to learn from that mistake and, you know, just let him do what he does best. So it's good when you hear coaches, well, I think when you hear coaches say that, because a lot of times you don't hear it at this level. Guys don't want to come out and be open like that, hey, I made the mistake. So I was good. It was good to hear that. But it just seems like McDonald, man, he listens to guys, right? He takes their input, right? He wants, what do you think? What do you like in these situations, you know? Because I think that's the best way to approach it at that level. It's got to be a partnership. It can't just be, here's what is my way or the highway. You know, that's not going to work.
No, not at all. And there are, you know, there are already rumors or whispers out there about he might be up for jobs.
Oh, yeah. He ain't going to be here long.
Here's the thing, though. And now we're going to go back in history a little bit. He's been a part of the organization from the very beginning of his career. Mm-hmm. They thought so highly of him to make sure that he was prepared. John sent him to his brother
That's right.
To call an entire year defense so he wouldn't be cold when he came back the following year. Now, me being a betting man, kind of looking at that as kind of the EDC idea with him and Ozzie Newsome, which is, why would I leave a town?
I see what you're saying. I see where you're
or an organization that has I have been with since day one, and you could count that Michigan year him not being a part of the organization.
He was still part of the Ravens. I'm counting. He was part of the Ravens.
You want to look at that?
That was a satellite campus.
Yeah,
he went to the satellite.
However you want to look at it. But if I'm looking at that, if I'm Mike McDonald, this team has invested a ton in me. And I have come out, and in every step, they have literally looked at me and said, this is how we're going to do it. This is what we want from you. Here's the keys. Harbaugh has been around. I'm not saying the next couple years, however you want to look at that. But what did Harbaugh sign? A 3-year or a 2-year extension?
I don't remember. I don't remember what he signed last.
Might want to look at that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, they would be leaving it in good hands.
They would.
With him, with T. Martin, with Todd Monken still there as kind of being the old wise dude who can keep the offense going in the right direction. He doesn't seem like a guy who wants to be a head coach in a sense.
No, not anymore. I think he said he's had that taste of it, and he's good.
He's good.
He's doing that.
Right. So he's kind of like Dean Pease in that sense. Like, you can count on that dude being there as your rock on offense for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of being prepared for him.
I can see that. I didn't think about that because I'm thinking – I didn't think about Harb's contract, number one. That's a very important point to take in. And then I'm thinking just him. He's not a young dude. I mean, he's not old. But he's not a young coach, obviously. So I don't know how many more years he wants to do it. But, you know, it could be one of those things where if he wins another chip, he may just be, I'm good. I got two.
I got two. I might go stretch it for three, see if I can get it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be crazy about it.
I'm still relatively young. I'm in good health. I could jump on TV and make some money. He might just be like, hey, I'm good.
He can catch his daughter's junior and senior year.
He might just be, hey, I'm just saying, if it were like,
there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And also on the defensive side, you've got Orr, who everybody in that organization loves. And you've got Anthony Weaver. So you're not. You've got continuity because one of those two guys is going to move up into that chair.
Yeah. No question. No question about that.
So
Weaver could already probably be a head coach. I mean, and was he a head coach in Houston? I know he coached their D-line. I don't know if he was ever a head guy there.
He was the defensive coordinator.
He was a coordinator. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, he coached D-line and then was the DC too.
Yeah.
But yeah, they got the infrastructure for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Where they can make that move. But yeah, I didn't think about that. So yeah, he could definitely do that because, look, some people are going to come calling. If the defense continues to play the way that they've been playing by the end of this season, regardless of what happens, I mean, I expect them to have a good year and, you know, hopefully get in the playoffs and make a run. That happens. There's going to be some people knocking on the door. But just like you said with EDC, there were people knocking on the door every year. He decided to stick out here because the handwriting was kind of always on the wall. It was just, you know, can you be patient and bide your time? You know, you can go out there and chase it right now if you want.
Yeah.
But if you stick around here, you know, it's basically
set for life.
Yeah. It's basically set up for you. You just got to wait, you know? Yeah. So I would not be surprised. That's a very good point. I would not be surprised. So he may not be out of here on the first thing smoking as much as I thought he would be.
Right.
He could still be around a little bit. But yeah, the secondary, kudos to all those guys.
You get Marcus Williams back.
You get Marcus Williams back.
And now you have Williams, Stone playing out of his mind, and Hamilton, And basically, you have Hamilton and Stone just
do what they already been doing, just kind of rotate. Because I think you still, like we've talked about it so far, the first 4 weeks, even over the offseason, you got to find ways to get Hamilton around the ball. Obviously, he can make plays from safety, but when he's in that nickel role,
no,
and he's up around the line of scrimmage, that is a weapon up around there.
His arms are so long, he can't be blocked.
Yeah.
He's big enough to absorb tight ends, who he's most likely going to see. And wide receivers have no shot. None of blocking him.
Can't block him.
Wide receiver. Can't block him.
It's not going to happen.
No.
He's a good blitzer. You know what I mean? He's got a sense for the timing of it. He covers a lot of ground.
He is a very long human being.
Yeah, he covers a lot of ground. I know it was kind of the exaggerated version of it going against Minshew. I mean, you're not going to get 3.5 sacks very often, if ever. Yeah. But, you know, he showed last year, you know, that he could blitz and come off the edge. He can make plays in the run game. Obviously, he's good in coverage. And this year, you see the maturity and the comfort level in the defense. And how much communication. To me, I'm like, look, so you got this guy who communicates the way that a safety does, but now he can also play nickel. So now you're getting that same communication when he bumps inside to nickel, the same knowledge and the same perspective that a safety would see the back end from. He's seeing it at nickel too. He's bringing that to nickel. And I mean, it just ups the IQ of everybody on the back end when he's out there, because he's communicating consistently this year. I love it. When you watch the coaches film, just watching him and how much he communicates before the snap.
Everybody talks.
Yeah. And you can tell he's seeing things, like he just sees it, right? He understands things. And you knew he was going to be good last year, just physically. You could, it was like, okay, he got all of that. But
they left him alone at nickel once they realized, if we leave him back there in the back end, he's going to lose all his confidence. So when he got locked in just a nickel last year, his mind stopped flying all over the place.
Yeah.
And things just started happening.
Yeah. You said it. He said it too. You said his mind was flying. He said it. They asked him that exact question. He says, the speed of the game? He said, no, it's the speed of my mind. It's too fast up here.
I'm thinking about so much. Let's go get the football.
Yeah. When you make it simple, it's amazing how much faster these guys play when things are just simple and you just let that natural ability just come out. You know, yeah. We talked about it with Queen earlier. We've seen it with Hamilton. So, hey, you love to see it. 28-3, you know, the Browns defense was, you know, kind of the bigger talk coming into this game, and, you know, deservedly so. They had put up the numbers coming into this game, but we know Rose is a prideful dude, and this defense seems like a prideful defense. So I think, you know, that was meaningful to them, I think, to come into this game and say, hey, yeah, they're good, but we're good too.
Yeah. And two things. One, Stevens, by the way, whoever I am not here to accept praise or kudos however you want to approach that.
Pour one out for my man Deshaun Elliott.
Remember that?
I remember it well. You said this guy's going to take his job. So he's going to take his job, and that's going to be the last we see of Deshaun
Elliott. Gone. And he has consistently gotten better and better every week.
He really has.
He is hard to throw the ball on right now. He's not a step late like he was last year. He's in wide receivers' pockets on a regular basis.
Yep.
Now he's getting rewarded.
Yep. And Harbaugh said they'll probably leave him at corner whenever Humphrey comes back. They say, yeah, I mean, obviously he's got the versatility where he could play some nickel, but he said, we'll probably leave him at corner because he's earned it. He's played that well.
You got Geno playing well as strong safety, so you really don't have to mess with the juju right now. It's good that once Humphrey's back and say Geno goes down, Now you can move Stevens inside, or you can move Humphrey inside.
Yeah, you got the flexibility to do it.
But you're okay with that.
Another thing he said they had worked on him with a lot, Chris Hewitt, and then even the guy who came in from Philly. I'm blanking on his name now, but the DB coach was working with Stevens at the top of routes. Kind of was the biggest thing. Like physically, he could run with guys, he could change direction, but at the top of routes, and you hear that, right? When people complain, fans and stuff complain about it, like, oh, the ball was right there, all you had to do was get his head. That's not something that comes natural if you haven't been playing that position for a real long time. That might be one of the last things that come is learning how to be consistent at the top of routes.
It is. Remember, he played safety.
Yeah.
So your eyes are different.
You can,
as a safety, you can be a little late because you have more distance to cover, and that ball's got more distance to cover. So you can be late. That's why at corner, you got to be quick twitch. You got to understand. That's what Jimmy Smith kind of struggled with his whole career.
Yeah.
Was the top of routes.
Yeah.
Because he was not as fluid in his hips to get out of turns. Jimmy could lock you down, man. Coverage, yeah, no question.
He
has
hands
about
on
it.
You.
He put his paws on you with a rap. Absolute rap. Like, no. But Stevens, like you said, he is now understanding sinking his hips at the top of the route and trusting his eyes.
Yeah.
Trust your eyes.
Trust.
Go get it. Like, don't hesitate.
Because you can see that safety in him. He wants to look back at the ball. He wants to see the quarterback. That's the safety in him. That's how he's used to seeing the game.
Yep.
But now, like you said, you got to trust, like, hey, if I get my eyes where they're supposed to be on this receiver, I'll play the ball off of him. He'll tell me where the ball is at.
Where the ball is.
And
eventually, the next step is once you're in the hip, now you can go find the quarterback. Now find the ball.
Yep.
Now put your trail hand on his hip so you're not pulling him, but you know where he is.
You know where he's at. You don't lose him, man.
You don't lose him.
Like an old coach used to tell me, why are you looking at the quarterback? He ain't throwing it to you. You need to be looking at this receiver. That's who he's throwing the ball to.
You are a consequence of just being on the field. That's it.
But it was a bad natural habit for me, but I wanted to see it. I'm like, if I see it, I got a chance to get it. But if I'm looking at this dude, I'm never going to see it. But he's like, you got to trust that he's going to tell you when the ball is coming.
Yeah.
And then it's just be an athlete. Go be an athlete at that point.
Yes, go be an athlete.
Yeah, but he's like, if you got to see it all the time, you'll get some. You know, you'll get some that way. But more often than not, you're going to lose the receiver.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as you take your eyes, you try to look real quick, he's gone. Okay. And it ain't got to be far. It could be a yard or 2 yards.
No.
You're going to be in a position where you can't get your hand on the – you can't make a play.
Absolutely.
So that's hard. I don't know if people realize how hard that is.
Well, it's not taught very much anymore.
Yeah.
The one thing, if you notice about the Ravens coaching staff this year, a lot of teachers.
Yeah.
A lot of coaches.
Teachers. He wants good teachers.
Previous years, since 2017, not a lot of teachers coming through the door.
Yeah.
A lot of names.
Names.
A lot of personalities.
A lot of personalities.
A lot of personalities. Not a lot of teachers. They went back to the roots. Now you got guys like Zay Flowers, who's just, all you got to do is tell them, like, how? The man that's gone there and make people look uncomfortable.
Man, Mike Tomlin talked about him for almost a minute today.
Just a minute.
Nothing but Zay Flowers, just praise. And the thing, I mean, you know, he said a lot of things that we all kind of see, right? The athleticism, the agility, all that stuff. The other thing he said that people may not realize, he said, I got a chance to see him, you know, at BC or whatever. He said, he's fearless. He plays with no fear. And he said, he will run into dark places full speed. So you don't necessarily think about that when you think about a guy his size, right? You're seeing a kind of a smaller frame guy. You might think, okay, this guy not scared, because you can't play at this level if you're scared, but just okay, maybe some more business decisions, you know.
Yes,
he doesn't. He doesn't.
No,
he doesn't. He's 100 miles, like you said, he runs into dark places full speed. I'm not tiptoeing in there. I'm not. I'm going full speed.
No, I mean, in the first four games, has he taken a shot?
I can't think of any like major ones. No,
he's either taking like a side little thing, trying to get away from someone. I don't even think he's really scooted out of bounds maybe a couple times, but other than that, he's not taking any like hurricane shots yet.
He might have that Lamar thing where he just knows how to not take those lineup shots.
Yeah.
I don't know how Lamar does it, but he just
it's Kenny.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I told somebody when I said, you know, he reminds me of, it's like a boxer. It's like in their prime, it's like Roy Jones or Floyd. They don't take direct shots. They don't take big direct shots. Everything's like a glancing blow. They kind of deflect it. They never take like a full direct shot. That's kind of how like Lamar is. He does it anytime that he takes one, it's usually in the pocket. When he's outside the pocket and he's got the ball in his hands and he's dictating things, he doesn't take
it right in the chest. Like, there we go.
Yeah, he doesn't take super, super big shots unless there's been a couple occasions where he's like, hey, I got to go get this. And I know that there's going to be contact, but I got to go get this. So that, you know, you understand that. But for the most part, he does not take a lot of big shots. And like you said, I can't think of one that Zay has taken either. So, and that side of the ball too. I mean, look, you still got Odell coming back. You still got Bateman, who hopefully will be able to come back. So, the offense has continued to take steps, even with certain guys that they're missing. So, you know, Andrews, the boy wasn't happy, right? The first couple of weeks after this Cleveland game. Now he's back. He's like, this is how it's supposed to be. I'm getting the touchdowns. Okay. This is going to these other dudes. I'm not cool with that. I need to eat too. So, you know, hey, and he produced. I mean, when he went up and got that one, hey, I can't argue. Okay. Up over dudes and Mawson. Okay.
Okay. But come January. Let's do it in the playoffs.
Let's do it
in January 12th, 13th.
Let's do it in the playoffs.
Yeah. Check in with me.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let me see what happens when that first ball hits his hands and he
roughly. We know he can do numbers in the regular season. He's shown that. He can do numbers. We already seen that. But in those games at the end of the season, when we got to have it.
No.
Yeah. And I think we might see it more this year because you know what? They got a guy on that side who I think he's not the same type of personality as Roe, but I think Odell kind of raises people's level too a little bit because just of who he's been and kind of who his mentality is too. Because it seems like when he comes into a team, there's all of the outside stuff that you see about him. But then he gets here and you're like, oh no, this dude's a worker. He just works.
He's a focused dude.
It's not just all of that personality. Yeah, that's a part of who he is. But he works.
He takes the pressure off of Lamar. Lamar doesn't have to be the motivator and the leader. Yeah. He can be the leader one day. Odell can be the guy in the huddle like, come on, guys, let's go. Other times, Lamar can be the motivator and Odell can step in as an offensive leader and be like, hey, guys, we got to come together. So, you know, there hadn't been that on offense yet.
No, they didn't have that.
They didn't have that. Andrews, I've noticed he's picked up a little bit of this, not a mean streak, but I have something to prove.
Yeah. There's definitely like some anger in there.
There's some anger.
Because he's like serious. He's like super serious, like all the time. Like even when they're celebrating, they laughing and having a good time. He's like, nah, lock in. Come on, lock in.
He's on a mission this year. Like he's
got, and even with Lamar, I don't think that he's not a motivator. And he's obviously a leader. I mean, every time you listen to him talk, he always puts the team first. It's never about him. So I get that. But I don't know that he's that kind of personality, though. I just don't think that's Lamar's personality. He's a fun-loving dude.
Right.
Likes to laugh, likes to have a good time. And he's always been the best player on the field anytime that he's played. And sometimes that personality is a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, hey.
You can't be a leader when you're the superstar in a sense. Like, it's a rare combination.
Yeah, yeah. It's special. When you get dudes like that, that's special. But like you said, now the pressure is taken off of him with Odell on offense, Roe, obviously, since he came in on defense. and he can just be Lamar. He doesn't necessarily have to be those other things, even though it sounds like he's done a little bit more of that this year too, where he's, you know, talking before the game, which is something he really hadn't done before. So it sounds like he might be taking on a little bit too. But I think Lamar's thing has always just been like, hey, my play is going to talk. You will see what I do out there. That's how I talk. I ain't got to say a whole lot.
So what week is it?
Four. Well, five now.
Coming up on week five, right?
Yeah.
Check in with me week six. Let me know if Lamar is sick or not.
Uh-oh. Well, that's been the pattern, unfortunately, the last few years.
Week six. For some reason, we're sick.
Second half is going into that second round, the turn going from the first half of the season to the second half of the season. That's when there's been issues in the past. But you know what? I'm feeling this year we might be good this year.
Prove me wrong.
I'm feeling we might be good this year. I got an OC that I like. We might be okay this year.
who actually looks at the game and goes, you know what? That's not working. I'm not going to call out anymore.
Yeah. So you know what so does work? Quarterback run game in the red zone. That does work. Let's do that.
That's so scary now, though, with Zay Flowers on the jet and Gus being as physical as Gus can be.
Yeah.
Like you have to pick your poison down.
Yeah, because you can't take it all away. So you got to decide, okay, we're going to take this away and we'll just live with the other thing.
Yeah.
But the other thing can beat you too.
Yeah.
So that's
when it's blocked up right.
Yeah. But that's the thing about Monka. People kind of thought, okay, well, we're not going to see as much QB run game. But if you watch them at Georgia, even with old Stetson Bennett, he didn't do it a lot from the 20s in between, you know, from 20 to 20. But once they got in the red zone, it's just the math is better.
He's out there.
Yeah. Yeah. The math is better if the quarterback's running the game in the red zone, because when you've got, like you said, when you've got a guy like Gus inside, you got to respect that, right? Because 240 pounds, he can hit it up in there. And now you got Zay that can stretch you. So now these lanes are easy. I mean, you saw that first one for Lamar. Nobody touched him. So now these lanes are easy. And it's not like we haven't seen it. I mean, obviously he did it a ton under Roman. But I like now that it's like, hey, we're not going to do it as much.
Yeah.
We're not going to do it as much in the middle of the field. But when we get to a part of the field where the math is better for it, let's do it down here, you know? And he'll just spam that. Just keep calling it down there.
Bam. This ball is not leaving Lamar's hands.
He'll just keep calling it down there.
I'm going to put the ball in my best player's hands. Like, he's either going to throw it or he's going to run it.
So you got to give him time, just like we talked about McDonald his first year. He as a coordinator, he's learning these guys as well, what they do well, what routes they, you know, when the receivers, what routes they run, you know, running backs, you know, what type of runs, you know, that they have a better feel for. Like you see Justice Hill, we knew Justice Hill was fast. I mean, you go back to when they drafted him coming out, you knew he could run, but he's got juice that we hadn't seen really featured before. And now you see a guy who, okay, he doesn't have to carry it a ton, but you get him 5 to 8 touches a game or more, depending on how the game works out. But you see he's got something that nobody else has other than Zay, where it's like just explosion. Like he gets the ball and just go.
That's why Mitchell is still on this football team.
Because he can do that too.
So. Oh, he can pick him up and put him down.
So when he's back, which I guess his window for practicing started, right? Because it's the fourth game, so they can start practicing.
Did they activate him yet?
I haven't seen that. The only thing that I saw
was Tuesday, so we wouldn't know until tomorrow.
Yeah, the only thing I saw was that the window opens this week.
Yeah,
so we won't know until tomorrow.
For a lot of guys,
yeah. But if you look at it, it's 21 days, right? Where you either got to come back or they got to put you back on IR, and then I think you're done for the year. So that's that Detroit game. So that's so they got, I think that's 3 games from now. So that's when we're going to know for sure whether these guys are here and they're back, or they're going to end up being on IR for the rest of the year. So we'll see. I mean, like I said, if they practice this week, I certainly don't expect them to play this week. I think they could have a chance the week after that, but then definitely by that third game, which I think is the Detroit game, they have to be back, or you know, they gotta put him back for the whole year. So Bowser can start practicing this week. Mitchell can start practicing this week. Ham can start practicing this week. Humphrey never was on IR.
No, he which can is practice the wildest practice. Thing ever.
Yeah, he can practice whenever.
No one wants to talk about that.
No, I mean, hey, my man is out in front of his Tesla showing off. My man is at the high school football games. I mean, that ain't the same as playing corner in an NFL game. I get it, but
it sounds like it sounds like if they were struggling in the secondary after week two, sooner, I think he would have tried to play.
But now you can take the extra time, make sure it's all the way right. Make sure it's all the way right.
Yeah.
You don't have to rush it back and then potentially, you know, do something to it. Try
to nurse it to the rest of the season. Yeah.
That's kind of what I felt with Marcus Williams, too. Because when he was practicing this past week, I was like, what?
Yeah.
But then he didn't play. Yeah, practicing in full, but then he didn't play. I'm like, okay, they're probably like, hey, we're doing okay back there. We don't need, you know, if we can buy some more time with this thing, let's try to buy a little bit more time with it. Because you don't want him to come back and re-aggravate it and then losing for the rest of the season. So I'm still shocked that he's coming back at all, because I thought for sure he tore his pec. But
yeah, I don't know if I'd play him against the Steelers. I know he'll probably want to play.
Yeah.
But I feel like in that environment may not be conducive to him having control.
Yeah, because he's not going to control himself. No. He's not going to do it at all.
No, control whatsoever.
No, that's exactly the kind of game he wants to play in.
Yeah.
And he's going to put it all out there. Like, it's not going to be, all right, Marcus, try to, you know, ease your way back into this thing. Yeah, so they got Pittsburgh, then the Titans, then Detroit. I couldn't remember what that second game was after Pittsburgh. The Titans is a physical one, too, obviously.
See, I don't – okay.
That's the London game, too, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's next week. So, I don't see Stanley playing until they get back from Detroit. They're not going to put him on a plane with a banged-up knee. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
If he plays this week, okay, then he'll probably play Tennessee. If he doesn't play this week, he's not playing in London.
Yeah, he's not going. He might come back against Detroit.
Right.
He got in a couple limited practices this past week. I don't think he got in any fulls. So.
Yeah. I would like to hold Marcus Williams till after London. I just don't want to. I don't like that trip for him. And then, you know, Bowser, I wouldn't suspect, would be back for the London trip.
Yeah, I was thinking Detroit.
I think Detroit is the best bet for him. I think most of these guys, I think Owe will probably come back this week.
Yeah, Owe could be back. I'm thinking Titans, you might see Mitchell, you might see Ham, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know how they feel about that, because they got guys now who've stepped in, younger guys who've stepped in and have done well. So for him to come in and take snaps from somebody, you know, he's going to have to show out in practice.
Is Gordon on the roster, or is he practice squad?
I think they've got to decide, because this year it's 3 call-ups. It used to be 2 call-ups, and then they got to put you on the roster. This year is 3, and I think this game was his 3rd one, I think. So, or was it his 2nd? Let's see, he played against the Colts. I don't know if he played against the Texans, did he? Can't remember.
No.
And then the Bengals, did he play? I think he played against the Bengals.
He played against the Bengals.
Yeah. So this would, this was his 3rd one. So he's got to be on the roster.
Yeah.
He's got to be on the roster now. So that could, that might, I don't know what that's going to mean for Mitchell. Because obviously Gus is going to be up. Justice is going to be up. If Gordon's on the roster now, unless they let him go. Unless they let him go, which I don't necessarily foresee.
I mean, he's the best back out of the backfield right now.
You still got Drake on the practice squad, which you
could let that man go.
You could let Drake go. I mean, that fumble, that was
last time he gonna be in a Ravens
uniform. This is not the kind of start that you wanted for him. Because Drake, you know, he was decent when he was here last year. He gave him a little something, you know, when JK was out, but I don't know. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what they do at running back, because the numbers might get a little funky now. But we'll see. We'll all get to see. We won't have to wonder about it. All right. I think we covered everything. I think we can get on out of here. We know that the Ravens got Steelers coming up this week. I think I saw Kenny Pickett, his knee thing, it was like a sprain, I think, or something. It wasn't.
Bone bruise, I think.
Bone bruise, there you go, bone bruise. So it wasn't, you know, because initially when he heard it, people were thinking, oh, is it ACL or something? But turns out it wasn't that. So I guess that's good news for them, obviously, if you're a Steelers mm-hmm. fan. But, you know, you can never take them lightly, right? I know it looks like, okay, they're just coming off of getting thumped by the Texans. But, you know, it's a division game. So to me, all that other stuff goes out the window when you talk division games. It don't matter what else was going on. When they get into these games, anything can happen. So I know people going to be thinking, oh, the Steelers are down. Kick them while they're down. Yeah, I would love to kick them while they're down. But I would fully expect them to give the Ravens a problem in this game. Yeah. That's what they do. That's what they do.
I would agree with that statement.
That's what they do. So should be a good game. Usually is. But all right, we'll get up out of here. Y'all know how we do. We don't do no overtime. We are out of here. Maybe if I can find the button. There we go.